and try to make some headway, obviously. So just, again, you can see this is a pretty big topic. We're trying to get to the end of it. The last things that we were discussing was the how the sugya on Daf Nun Tesamud Beis, Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shmuel, how that fits in to to the bigger picture, whether it is relevant or not. The case in the Gemara there, where it seems like there was an interest, and maybe the foundation to establish a cheskas hezek re'ia. And Rabbi Shmuel seems to be endorsing that idea, and Rabbi Chiya says, nothing doing. Yeah. So we discussed the how that fits in with the Sugyan Mem Aleph Amid Aleph, and the general question about the relationship between Chazak Ali Alter, Chazak Alachar Shloshim, Chazak Alachar Gimel Shanim. But according to the Rif, that's what the Rimi Gash points out, even though he rejects it, the Rimi Gash and the Ramban see that issue itself as a referendum, if you will, on the big question of Chazaka in Hezekria. So that's an important nofech to add. Eitan had a very good Ha'ara. It's a little shocking, that this is not spoken about more, unless you found somebody, but I didn't. And that is that the Ramban's Raya, if you have it, you could just read the Ramban just for a second, and then the Yerushalmi. The Ramban's Raya is from the Yerushalmi, his second Raya. Right? First he, simply is operating with the Rif, but then he says, and, the Rif position is reinforced by the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud, in Cheskas Habatim, says very clearly, that the chazaka, is not going to work. And therefore that supports the position of the Rif. And do you have the language of the Ramban open?
Yeah.
Maybe I should give you the amplifier. I don't mean you specifically, I mean everybody, because now we're back to the masking again. Yeah.
Says, just read the writing.
Just the right from the Rishonim, yeah. Just. So again, had it stopped there, if that's what the Rishonim had said, that would be fine and good. But the language of the Rishonim itself, the Ramban is quoting, the Rishonim accurately, right? Eitan just looked at the Rishonim, right?
Yeah.
So he is quoting the Yerushalmi accurately, but the Yerushalmi doesn't stop there. It says, Haga, go ahead. Oh, what is that? And again, the Girsos are a little different because Yerushalmis are always, kind of like the Wild West, very untamed. So it says loy or taloy or, we're not really sure what the text is. But at least what seems to be the consensus view, what is that line? What does that mean in Yerushalmi? The guy says to him, I don't understand. You were helping me, in this enterprise. How can you turn around all of a sudden and back out of it? Right? So what does he say to him? Right, he says to him, ha-ha, and the ha-ha part is not in the Yerushalmi, meaning I wanted to see how much effort you were going to put into this failed project. Right? And then you have the other one, he says, let's say he dragged all this. Does he kind of quote that part too? I think
yeah.
So. Yeah, also something like that, in other words. Another ha-ha. So, Eitan, go ahead. So what's the question?
That's not the reason of the Ramban.
Yeah, the Ramban is quoting this as a proof for the Rif, right? For the Rif, you would prefer to say something like, Be'ikaron, right? In principle, there's no Chazaka and Hezekria, because it's Niske Adam be Adam, right? and or worse. You know, so what does it have to do with some sort of a taina? So it is tamua. Yet the Ramban thinks that this is a raya for the Rif. It should really be a raya against the Rif. And if you look in the Mefarshei HaYerushalmi, you know, some of them at least, they actually work very hard. I think it's I'm not sure if it's Marpanim or I forget which one, but one of them at least, like he works very, very hard. So it's like, you know, what will the Rimigash and the Rambam, like, you know, what will they do with this terrible proof from the Yerushalmi? Okay. Now, the Ritva happens to dismiss, I don't know if you got a chance to look at the Ritva? The Ritva dismisses this proof from the Yerushalmi. Anybody have the language there? Or the... Yonathan, you have it? Are you looking for it? But it's really kind of very interesting, you know, internally. So again, I don't have a really good answer, but, you know, I think it raises an interesting question. Yonathan, go ahead. Anybody have it? If not, we'll get it. We'll look it up for tomorrow. I just don't have I don't want to spend the time. No? No one's finding it?
Got it.
Got it? Go ahead.
Amar Shmuel, or Philip Kolsha, who Yeshno Chazaka, Nephilim of Varshan Zal, Perish, Rabbein Shmuel Zal, Shain Lo Ora, Elami Shum Pain, the Pain of the Tosos, the Pain Perish, Arrived Zal, the Philip Zal, the Hair, Perish, the full Shah Osweili, Happiness, in the Meadow Ora, the Pain Yerami Shuto Shal Lashon, the Pain Yerami Rusham, Ishahu, Shadra, Fallon Zal, the Fallon Shal, Omo, or the Inyon Tuma, the Pain Tas, Mori Barabi. The low Shmuel El Lomar Mishnah Seinu the Chalon Haosor Lazun Esein of the Ladaber Im Chaver. Rabbein Nira the Yerushalmi Shadino Bezek Dino the Inyan Tuma. Rabbein Nira
the High Kol. No, I didn't mean that one. That, I meant the, specifically this Raya that Rabbi that we that Rabbi Chia, you know, rejects in principle has agree. You have it? Go, Josh. Go ahead.
Only the Raya. I'm skipping the. Only the Raya the Zora.
If anything's going to work, this is going to work, which is what the Ramban says. Yeah, we'll get back. I think that is important. Okay, go ahead. So what's he saying?
Basically that there are, like, you know, very practical umdina reasons to assume that the chazaka actually isn't good.
Correct. In other words, like exactly what Eitan was saying. Basically, right. But except that it's shocking that the Ramban, who is quoting the full Yerushalmi, I mean, that part is, of course, always good. So, but I think the hint is in the Ramban himself, right? Which, you know, going back to it, which is, what the Ramban is saying is basically, from a pure umdana, and it still remains tamua, but then I think that's why it remains important, or it is important, I should say remains. It remains tamua, and it is important. Meaning what the Ramban is really saying is what? In the end of the day. That from an umdana standpoint, you know, this is not very credible. You know, haha is not, you could, you know, this is the principle. Haha right, does not an umdana, you know, make? You know, it's typically if somebody, you know, assists you in a project, then that's an implicit endorsement, all things being equal. Now, of course, there is, so what we're saying is we don't really believe, or we don't give, you know, objectively speaking, this is not what was implied, you know, and, but the question is, in the end of the day, so what? So it sounds like what the Ramban is trying to say, this is what's important about it, is that, and it goes back, you know, to something we've, you know, encountered already in these sugyas, and that is, you know, there are like very absolutist positions that you could take, right? And some of the Rishonim are taking them, you know, especially on behalf of the Tshuva Sarif, right? And the more you emphasize, you know, Nizke Adam B'Adam, especially if you think Enan Mochel Al Rashe Evarim, you know, means you have no bailus, you know, or if you emphasize, you know, Gedaron Shel Rishonim, you know, Maisa Iser, etc. So that, you know, absolutism kind of stands, you know, in its, stands on its own. But even short of that, the question of what is the default, you know, can translate into the question of what threshold or standard of evidence, right, is necessary, right, to, you know, to initiate some sort of a new or different reality that goes against the natural grain. Because there's another, you know, issue here, and that is, like, even if, you know, theorize, so let's, I'll just put it in context, let's say, like the Rambam said, you know, like we were talking about, Kanamiado would be a great example, or you know, Mechira, I bought that right. Let's say you buy the right, not just you are Zoche in it through Shtika and Siyua and Chazaka. And let's say you even, like, there are several levels, we still have to go back to Kutra, Beis Akise very briefly on this, but of course it applies to Hezekria as well. I mean, the question, maybe the answers are different. Like, there are different Madregos. One Madrega is, let's call the extreme Madregos. One Madrega is that, you know, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, you know, this is simply anti-definitional, and therefore it's inconceivable. You know, Gedaron Shel Yisrael, and Einan Mochel Rashei Varim in the Bailos sense, you know, etc. And, you know, there's nothing you can ever do. So then, any, you know, even, you know, any other factor, you know, that comes into play, you know, is going to be a little diluting, let's say, of that, you know, absolutist position. In the opposite direction, let's go back to a suggestion I made about the Rif, right, which was that, you know, when the Rif thought he could bring a raya from Dav Beis, because, like, how can the Gemara prove Hezekria Loshma Hezek? You know, maybe we're talking about a case, even though it's not in any way hinted at, you know, in the evidence, but maybe we're talking about a case where there's a Mechila or a Chazaka, right? So one of the things I was saying was, that's not such a great argument, because you could just say, well, the burden of evidence is to prove there was a chazaka. And, you know, the case, the, you know, the material doesn't indicate that. So I was, again, I'm just repeating what I've already said. I was saying that maybe the Rif is saying, you know, there are two extremes here. The two extremes that we're now talking about. One extreme is, nothing you can do, nothing you can agree to is going to change, you know, a definitional reality. And, you know, that's what this is. But the other extreme maybe is, or maybe the alternative is the other extreme, which is, you know what, there's something called Hezekria. It barely gets, you know, over the, you know, the victory line. You know, there's a Mandamar Hezekria Loshma Hezek, right? So even according to the Mandamar Hezekria Shma Hezek, you know, it barely qualifies, you know, Mare, Reach, Ein Bahem Misha Me'ila, Ein Bahem Mamish, you know, all these kind of things. So, you know, it's very easy, that's the other extreme, you know, and even without evidence, maybe we should just assume that if people don't complain, you know, maybe it's the kind of a hezek that you need to articulate. There's no taninan. I don't mean it literally, but, you know, kind of. There's no taninan, you know, in this hezekry, practically. That's the other side. And then, of course, in between, there's a lot of, you know, relevant distinctions to make in terms of cases, in terms of mechayvim, but also in terms of, even in the most extreme or the most moderate case, just in terms of this question. As I could say, there's something called hezek ra'iya, and it's really very difficult, but not impossible to overcome. And maybe mechira, you know, will do it, or maybe meaning kinyan, or maybe dafka kinyan sudar, right? Or maybe mechila, you know, gemura, you know, mefurash, you know, lifnei edim, you know. And then there's going to be a whole gray area, right? You know, let's say on the umdana level, right? Let's say you have an umdana, you know, which implies, you know, a certain accommodation, you know, but there are other ways to explain it also, or explain it away, right? So on that whole line, you know, you could say, well, you know, if we knew what the standard, when it comes to other hezekim or zchuyos or tashmishim or umdanos, you know, this would certainly qualify. But here, you know, because it's so inherently objectionable, right, that you need like a, you know, mefurash. Maybe you don't need a kinyan, but at least you need a mefurash, you know, kind of a mechila. And anything, you know, less than that, even though Omdin Daito, that this is what he meant, since he didn't, it's not mefurash, you know, or it's not, you know, ironclad, you know, that's not enough. So that's kind of the only thing I can think of here, and that is that the Ramban, and again, maybe it isn't such a great raya for, it's a good enough raya for the riff in terms of the halacha. Right, like it's practically impossible, you know, or maybe it's impossible without a kinyan or without an explicit mechila to accomplish hezek ra'iya. You know, that doesn't mean that lo yetzuyer there was a kinyan or there was no other way to interpret his silence or his siyua or whatever. You know, maybe then, you know, maybe then the riff would still disagree. You know, but maybe he wouldn't, or maybe somebody wouldn't. But the very fact that our standards are so extreme and they're atypical, meaning they do not conform to the typical, you know, siyua, chazaka, whatever, at minimum that shows that on the spectrum, hezek ra'iya is something which is inherently objectionable. But if there were no other way to interpret, you know, if there were no aha even, you know, then, you know, that might be a place to draw the line. The fact that it's not is not a pure technicality, right? It is noveya from the objectionable character, you know, of built-in nizbal of this thing. It's almost like a little bit, you know, like I was saying, you know, but again, it's hard to know where to draw the line in that either with the Rambam's view, you know, of Enadam Mochel, you know, Rosh Eivarit. You know, where you would want him to say, you know, that there's no bailus and, you know, it doesn't matter what he means, you know, but I also don't think he means that, you know, probably this guy didn't mean it. He meant that, you know, no matter what he says, that's not a proof here. You know, of course, if we could, you know, prove it 100%, you know, if we had some sort of a neurological, you know, monitor on him, you know, to figure out, you know, that he, you know, he means it, he understands it and he means it, that he's fully committed to it, you know, like emunah, you know, so like deep emunah. So then, you know, maybe that would work, but we can't, we never will, lemaisa, we never will. So it's almost like the Ramban is saying, you know, at least that level of inan amochal al rashe varim, namely, we never believe it, no matter what he says. We're always skeptical. We'll always find he didn't understand it fully, or he didn't mean it fully. He thought he'd get out of it. He was, you know, playing with him a little bit, maybe thought he'd get damages from it, even though, you know, he was tricking him, you know, bringing him in. You understand. Anyway, so, I think you have to say something like that, because otherwise it's a very, you know, serious problem. But I think it does highlight, you know, this kind of continuum, this, you know, spectrum, how the din of hezek, again, like the Rambam says, that, you know, kinyan will work. Others, people think at least maybe only kinyan suter will work. Other people think that, you know, mechila mefureshes, you know, will work. You know, but all of that, you know, still is within, like, the group that perceives, again, those, some of those things worked for Kutra and Beis HaKisei. Again, we'll have to sum that up still. Kutra and Beis HaKisei too. But the ability to always say Ta'isi, right, you know, or, you know, I wasn't being, you know, Mishat Ta'isi Bach or something like that. Even if you don't believe it, and he knows it isn't true. But it doesn't matter. In the end of the day, the fact that he could makes it less than ironclad, and that's what you need or would need, and even then maybe that's mechudash. Okay, so again, I don't want to take so much time on it, but I think it was a good ha'ara, and I think it's a really important point to bring out, unless somebody has a better explanation. But again, the comparison to Kabbalah, especially for the Ramban, I think, and the Rambam's view of it, but my reading of the Rambam's view of it, I think is really actually helpful. Okay. Yeah. You want to say something?
No, it's also just kind of like how he reads Yogato Vasaf as Vasaf, but Yuga Vasasim. Just like, also, there's no clear rhyme from there.
Right.
It's like the exaggerated language makes it sound like it's under all circumstances. Like, he makes that linguistic.
Right. I'm just saying, by quoting the Yerushalmi, you know, that's even the Inid Bavli to say Yogato Yogato Pasachta Yogato Stom is another way of saying, you know, there are no circumstances that are going to, you know, allow this. So, you know, sorry, you know, buddy, if I misled you, you know, or maybe I did mislead you, but it doesn't matter in the end of the day, because it's not in my hands and it's not in your hands. Whereas the Yerushalmi, you know, by saying, by giving this far out, aha, you know, so again, I think the point, but the Rambam, you have that line just one more time, the Ramban, when he presents it, he says, right, this aha, says the Ramban, is not something, you know, that we're worried about, you know, when it comes to, you know, legitimate chazakos, right? So it's still a shiur, you know, in how much you have to overcome, or maybe in the inability to overcome, lemaisa, although, again, it is kind of a chink in the armor from an abstraction point of view. You have an Eitan? Go ahead. So what he's really saying is, I know that the Yerushalmi makes it seem like there's an umdana, you know, that we don't believe this, but we would believe it, you know, when it came to Tzana de Peri, right? And we would believe it in other contexts. So the fact that we don't believe it here is what establishes it at minimum, like Tzina, you know, like Kitra, basically. Now again, if I were writing it and wasn't, you know, didn't have to contend with Yerushalmi, I might have just said, you know, he meant it completely, and it's bilti nizbal, so it's a tos. Or, you know, he meant it completely, and he doesn't have the bilus, you know. But I guess short of that, and dealing with the Yerushalmi, it's fascinating that the Ramban thinks that this is a raya, and I think that this is how we have to say it. Okay. The other point I wanted to make very quickly is Josh brought to my attention, we're talking about Rabbeinu Yonah. We're talking about Rabbeinu Yonah and, you know, the tour's presentation, and the possibility that he holds like the, you know, like the Rif, or at least in the case of Chalon, that, again, you're never going to have a chazaka, And that could be very consequential, given what we, you know, our next, discussion, which is the Rabbeinu Yonah Shita about Chatzer B'makom Shenoagu Lo Livnos. And I want to get back to that. So we discussed the fact that the Prisha Sma has a more moderate view, unlike the Bach, according to which it wouldn't be an issue. But Josh brought to my attention, you know, that one could say something else as well, that even if you accept Rabbeinu Yonah's position to be rejecting Chalon, in other words, that the case of Chalon has to be a case in which, the issue isn't Hezek Re'iyah, because otherwise it would never be a Chazaka, it doesn't necessarily prove that, that in principle there's never Mechila or Chazaka when it comes to Hezek Re'iyah. Because you could say something else, namely, Josh? I don't know if we can get you in here, but we'll... Yeah, go ahead.
The difference between being a Saye on a window and a wall, because when it comes to the wall, the Maisa Hezek is the building itself. So the not saying anything is that an implicit allowance, as opposed to the building a window might not be the Maisa Hezek.
Yeah.
It might be the Riyah itself.
Exactly. So, in other words, in addition to everything else, one of the things that comes up is something that we've discussed already, and that is, especially in something like Psichas HaKalon, the relationship between that initiative, right, and the Hezek Re'iyah that it enables. So, again, the Rimigash, that's one of his, go-to svaras that a lot of the Rishonim liked and then the Achronim liked, right? Which is that, building the chalon is a maisa, and therefore that generates a chazaka. But you could say the opposite. You could say that building the chalon is not the maisa. The hezek re'iyah is the chazaka. The hezek re'iyah on the, ironically, again, if you're talking about maisim, then the chalon is more of a maisa. But if you're talking about like the direct relationship between the chazaka, right, and the hezek, that acts, right? That's what you're saying, Josh? That is more acute in something like Chatzer, right? Because you're at the wall, there is no, barrier, and you're present there, and your presence is inhibiting his privacy. So the chazaka is undoing the action, whereas the chazaka in the chalon is one step removed. So if that's the case, maybe Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't have to hold, even if he holds this way, in other words, not like, the Prisha's explanation, but more like the Bach, I mean that under all circumstances there would never be a Chazaka and Yetzirah Sakhalon. It doesn't have to be because Hezek Re'iyah, is fundamentally intolerable. It could just be because there's no way to establish, that Chazaka, since there is this disconnect or this one step remove between the actual Hezek, right, and the Maisa that enables it, which is the Maisa of the Chazaka. Okay, so I think that's a good Ha'ara. Finally, just one other point before we, two other points before we move on. We mentioned that the Tur in the end of Siman Kuf Nun Dalet says that the Rambam also, like the Rif, holds that there's no Chazaka b'chalon. Correct? And of course that's very, very problematic. The Nosei Kalim on the Rambam quote that and ask against it. Of course the Beis Yosef in Shulchan Aruch asks against it. That's what he quotes. He says that even in Chalon the Rambam holds the Hezek Re'iyah is not Nitan L'Chazaka. So the question is, what do you do with all that? So the Bach, just to be aware, the Beis Yosef just, asks and rejects, as he does in the Ketzah Mishnah. The Bach has like two approaches. The second approach, the one that he ultimately comes up with, is that it's simply a Tos Sofer, the Torah, just misspoke. It didn't mean to say that. The first approach is fascinating, and that is to suggest that the Rambam read the sugya And even in, when he codifies the Din of Chalon, doesn't mean from the perspective of Hezekiah, but from the perspective of Ora and Ipol, in other words, the light issue. And that the Rambam is, you know, exactly like the Rif, and he's just quoting these sugyas, but obviously you have to read between, just like the, you know, just like the Rif is going to say, we're not talking about Hezekiah. It doesn't sound that way in the Rambam at all. But that's what the Bach initially suggests, and then he goes back to suggest that it's simply a Tosafot. Oh. But the Drisha, I wanted to bring up, has a different solution. I don't know if I did I give that to you to look at or not, I don't remember. Did I? I did. So what is the Drisha? I think it's Sif Katan Yud Zayin.
Kufnun
Dalid. I think the Drisha is Sif Katan Yud Zayin. This like became like a very I wouldn't say cause celeb because that's maybe too dramatic. But it became like an issue. Being an interesting discussion, and it does highlight certain things. Do you see it? I like that stand thing. That's really nice. The Drisha is mechalik between like a big chalon and a little chalon. You have that? I brought it with me. Let me get it. Oh, so wired up here. In the physical sense, you know. In the, you know, not metaphorically. At least not any more than, you know, the usual excitement of, you know, reading the Chorus. What is it? Kuf Nun Dalet, I think I said Yud Zayin. Do you have it there?
With the Rambam, Shem Chazak Ala Hezekiah's Chalon?
Yes. So the Tur says what?
The Rambam paskins that there's no Chazak for our Chalon.
Correct. Which, of course, seems to be incorrect. So the Bach, if you just have it there since we're around, the Bach says, 1 second. Oh, I think I actually put a little.
The Bach says that it seems to ignore.
First, the Bach suggests what I mentioned before, which is that this is a maybe held like the Rif. Do you have that? He eventually says lachein nira yoser nira de to sofer ubedib rabbeinu, right? But tzarich lomar v'chein kasav harama b'makom v'chein kasav harama.
Right.
Okay. So you can see how that could happen. But earlier he suggests that maybe the Rambam holds like the Rif and interprets everything like the Rif. You have that?
Venir Eliashev?
Yeah.
So Venir Eliashev, Shadas Rabbeinu, he the low kasav for Rambam, the Feirush, that's the Griya Yesh the Chazaka, Ala Adra, the kasav par days of Parakin Aleph, Nishkain, and the Im Chazaka has a Griya, the Malkam Shatar Machitza. So in Kemashma, Vadak, the Kol has a Griya, Im Lo Chazaka.
I mean, if he's already taking this leap, then he shouldn't be, you know, so certain that that's the pshat in the Rambam. You might say, you know, maybe that's the pshat in the Rambam, or something like that, and therefore he says, no, it's just a tosofer. Okay. The Beis Yosef is just, you know, thinks that it just doesn't make any sense. But the Drisha has this very interesting idea. You have that?
From
Starts from Siyud Zayin. V'chein kasav Rambam. It's a very small print. Rosh Chol Yekalav Zel Lashon Beis Yosef U'tmiyani Al Zeh Shari Parag Zayin Duch Hashchinim. He quotes the Beis Yosef.
He says you may have just thought that it was the same as what he said in Parag Beis.
The Chalom Patsuch L'chotzer Vade Yesh Bo Hezek Re'iya V'afilo Hachi Katzer Sheish Chazaka. Efshar Shekin Kasar Rabbeinu Lefi Shara Shekasa Veperik Beis, etc., etc. Okay, you don't need to go into all that. But here he makes a suggestion. After, you know, dismissing all the other perspectives, sounds right. Sorry, one second. He says basically there's a difference between a big chalon and a little chalon. But this is actually an important case. Kalon chapitom a mazikani biriya sechal has a griya kazeh kasev the mahani chazaka. But if we're talking about a big chalon which is always patuach, he says that is the equivalent of a chatzer. Right? That's what he's saying. The efshadav, then he goes even further, but this is like the flip side of the Bach. You know, intrigue me. The Efshad Afilu Das Harif, the Haramban, Mahani Chazaka Behezekriya Bekai Gavna, meaning in a small chalon. The Hodemukal Harif Haramban Asuga De Kamar Lamata Me Dalid, the Eish Chazaka Kesheno Pasuach Lamakom Shesh Behezekriya, the Lamukam La Bekai Gavna Mishum the Sphere Lay Destam Chalonas and his Karim Betalmud Hayu Psuchim Legamri Tamid. Right, and so on. Meaning he's even willing to go, just like the Bach was saying, maybe the Rambam holds like, you know, reads all the sugyas like the Rif. So the Drisha is saying maybe the Rif and the Ramban will actually, you know, agree to this distinction between Chalon Gadol and a big and a small Chalon. Why do I think this is important? So his idea, you know, that at least according to Tur, I don't know if it's Pshat in the Rambam, but you know, it's very intriguing. So in terms of is a chalon the equivalent of a chatzer? What do you think?
Well, according to Rusha, it seems to depend on the size or the constancy of the chatzer.
Right, but I'm saying in light of other things that we've discussed, the answer is again, this is one of those again nafkamina. Just like, you know, the Rama was saying, oh, you want to be toled on a Maisa Chazaka as opposed to Sheval Tase? So what happens if you have a wall, you know, and the guy's breaching the wall all the time? Right? So too, here you have a Maisa, Yitzira Zachalon. Right? And so you have Maisa, Yitzira Zachalon. Is there mutual, is there reciprocal Hezegriya? No. Right? So from those two points of view, the chalon is not the same as the chatzer. But in terms of the, like, persistent, relentless, you know, if it's open all the time, like it doesn't have any shutters or whatever it is, or a covering, and it's very, you know, expansive window, so you can really see everything. It's not like you're seeing a little part. Right, so from that point of view, you know, the damage is, you know, the effect is the same. So that's a very interesting, again, nafkamina between, you know, some of the cases. But what's particularly intriguing about the drisha is that if, you know, according to what he thinks, you know, he thinks then that the tour, he thinks that this is what the tour thinks for the Rambam. So that means that he thinks that for the tour, the rush would be cholek, mean that the Rosh would say that even a chalon gadol, right, would be better than a chatzer. Right? So that's good. That makes sense too. Because if, again, if you're talking about, if the unique quality of the chatzer is the reciprocal hezekriya, or the absence of an initiative, right, then chalon gadol is like chalon katan. Okay, so that's just important, again, to fill out that picture. And then finally, one other thing, just very quickly, to zero in on. I mentioned this a couple of days ago, and I just didn't get back to it, but I want to put it out there. If you interpret the sugya on nuntes, right, like the, you know, Ramban is suggesting, you know, for the Rif, namely that it's not talking about a case where there's, you know, objective hezekriya, right, and therefore there's a chazaka in that case. So doesn't that raise, you know, a very important issue about Sharshifa? Right, the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Eloi, and this is how we paskin, right, if he wants to be mocha, it's not kofer also midas tome, because he can say, you know, I'm worried that you're going to look into, climb up and look into my yard. Right? So Bishlomo, if you hold like the pashtus of the Gemara and like most Rishonim, you know, that we're talking about hezekriya, so this hezekriya natural pachos midalid, and lamala midalid, usually that, you know, that's a barrier and that solves the problem, and shalom al Yisrael. But if the guy is more makbid, you know, so, you know, then there's hezekriya. But if it's not a case of hezekriya, right, down below, is it a case of hezekriya up above? So it sounds like the Rajba, to me at least, I think that's what the Rajba is referring to in the end of his piece. It sounds like, you know, that's maybe a din in Sharshifa and in the Kpeda. In other words, this is an interesting question, just like we saw, right, the Ramban. You know, what's the relationship between Daf Beis and Daf Nun Tes, right? And just like, you know, the Rama weighed in, maybe even in a more interesting way, and the Ksos in terms of Kofer Nosal Midas Tome, the Rama in terms of, you know, whatever it is, the difference between initiative and, you know, dealing with an existing problem, or the difference between, you know, neutralizing a toxic problem and neutralizing a more, you know, a kpeda or a psychological worry. If everybody's following me, just referring to things we've done. So in a way, the Rajba, I think, is or for the Rishonim, are interpreting that the sugya isn't a case where there's hezekriya, you know, typically. So are we saying that, you know, somebody can be mocha, the other side can still be mocha, but he can express his preference and prevent you, you know, from, like, you know, extraordinary hezekriya, even where, in other words, just like you could take Sharshifa, you know, whether it's midin hezekriya, but the circumstances are not, you know, such. So the concern, the worry, whatever, you know, you can kind of escalate it that way, or extend it that way, right? So too you can, you know, create it where it otherwise doesn't exist if you're makbid. Right, that would be like a very considerable escalation or expansion. Okay, something to think about. Okay, now let's move to back to the beginning of the Masechta for the time being. And let's get back to Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba. This should hopefully go more quickly. And, you know, we want to connect it also to some of the other issues. So let's talk about the background. Simcha Leib. That you behind the mask?
Yeah.
It's interesting how everybody has black masks now. Not everybody. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, even including me, back when Charlie that happened. What?
White one for Shabbat.
Of course. Yeah, I didn't even have to ask that. And for all the same, like, same color the whole day of Shabbos, or? I heard. Or like, you know, Shalosh Shudas. I understand. So, okay. So what's the background of this discussion? The Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba.
Yeah, and that's basically they said that a cluster does not have a degree of problem, maybe Gina does.
Oh.
But then the discussion is, well, when it does have a degree of problem, how does that affect Gina? How does Gina come back with that cluster when there is a degree of problem?
Oh, okay. So let's go to the earlier background. So we're basically the argument between, again, exactly, you said it very well. The argument between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba, and other Rishonim get involved as well, but they're the two, we'll call it the main protagonists in this debate, is the question of what happens, what's the case? You have a chatzer, shel shutfim, right? They broke up their partnership, and it's a mokom shenagu shelo livnos chatzer. Okay, we don't have that case in the Mishnah and the Gemara explicitly, correct? So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, if it's makom shenagu shelo livnos bechatzer, then it's, how would you say, it's lo gara migina. And in, what's the story in Gina? And that has him. How do we know that? Well, the Mishnah kind of hints at it, because the language of the Mishnah, but the language of the Mishnah is strange with regard to Gina and Bika, as we already pointed out. But you're right.
Sounds like it's saying,
there
could be a place
to domenic
at all.
Implying that it's Mokom. Well, again, and then the Gemara will explain. We'll go to the Gemara in a second. But it's not, it sounds like there can be a Mokom Shinogu Shalom Ligdor. And then it sounds even like a Mokom Stam. You know, it's not so clear whether it's like Mokom Shinogu Ligdor or Mokom Shinogu Lo Ligdor. Right? And then the Mishnah then has a line about Bika, Mokom Shinogu Shalom Ligdor ain't Mechayvin, but that sounds like Stam, you would be Chayev. Right? So it is. So the details in the Mishnah are unclear, but what is clear is that it at least in, you know, in terms of impression, is that when it comes to Gina and Bika, right? The minagamakom, ligdor or lo ligdor, seems to be some sort of a factor, correct? And as opposed to chatzer, where makom shenagu, which is one of the things we have to talk about. We'll try to get this in, you know, within this topic, you know, both the sugya Rishonim here on Daf Beis and you know, mostly Daf Beis, but also a little bit on Daf Dalet, right? You know, what is the effect of Mokom, you know, Shenagu, right? So in a way, the question of Mokom Shenagu plays itself out, like, explicitly in two different ways in this topic. Right, with regard to Bika and Gina, like exactly like Simcha Leib just said, although again the details are clear, still a little sketchy. But in terms of Chatzer, right, there's nothing in the Gemara at all about Makom Shenagu, you know, Lo Livnos. Instead, what the Mishnah is dealing with are standards, correct? And it sounds like there are two levels of standards, and those, we have to pin those down quickly, you know, two. Namely, one level of standard relating to what?
Material.
To what?
Material.
Material, excellent. The chomer of the wall, right? And the second one?
High, maybe?
Well, not so high.
How wide?
Yeah, exactly. So it sounds like the Mishnah, when it comes to chatzar, is dealing with quality control, right, both in terms of material and dimensions. We have to discuss, like, what is that, right? And of course, that's subject to the question that Tosis asks, right on that base of an Aleph, and then all Rishonim jump in on, and that is, since the Mishnah provides, you know, directives, you know, it gives us materials. It gives us, width. What's left for Mokom Shenagu? Right? What if there's a clash, in other words, between, right, the cases of the Mishnah, the quality, required, the standards of the Mishnah, and then Mokom Shenagu? And that's a question practically to deal with, and, to try to figure out also, how important that question is. Is it just a technical question? Is it a conceptual question? Like, what's really going on? What's at stake? L'kula and l'chumra. Like, let's say you have a makom in which the minhag is to build with even more durable, material. Or l'kula, with flimsier material. Right? Or a place where the minhag is to build, less robustly, I guess you would say, more, in terms of the width of the wall, right? At the end of the day, lekula and lechumra with regard to chomer and shiurim, what is the relationship between the local minhag, and the standards that are outlined here? And one would have thought, all things being equal, that whatever you say about, one issue, namely Chomer, you should probably say about the other issue, namely Shiurim. But as we'll see, because we're going to go through quickly, look at Tosis and the Rosh and the Ramban and the Rinyon, etc., just very quickly. I'm not going to spend time just, to make the bigger point. With the Rosh, we already saw a little bit, his discussion. We'll see that, some people are Mechalik, right? Between the question of Shiurim and the question of Chomer. Okay, but either way, what's absent in the Mishnah, what we don't have, and what Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba debate, is what if you have a makom shenagu shelo livnos klal? That you have in Gina, that you have in Bika. Again, what happens in Stam, in Gina and Bika, and their relationship, that's not so clear. We'll have to discuss that very briefly too. Right, but that, it's striking that you don't have that. Okay, so what we do have is the Mishnah with these issues, and then we have the Gemara and Dab Beis on the base, which we'll get to in a minute, and then we have the Gemara and Dalid Amud Aleph. And Dalid Amud Aleph tells us provides two pieces of information. One is that there is a little bit of give, right, in terms of the relationship between Minhag HaMakom and the standards of the Mishnah, and that is with regard to Hutza V'Dafna, right? Gemara here says what? Simcha Leib? Hakol K'minhag HaMedina? Yeah. So Hutza V'Dafna are not mentioned in the Mishnah in terms of materials, correct? They're flimsier, right? So even flimsier material, so you get some benefit from Minhag HaMedina, okay, Lekula. But it's a little bit hard to assess this. And what about something less? Because you can take this in two ways. Oh, Minhag HaMakom trumps the standards of the Mishnah. Does that go even further? Or does the fact that the Gemara says Hutza V'Dafna, does that mean, that that's the very edge? You can't go beyond that. And of course, it's also just, what does Hutza V'Dafna, signify? Hard to know that. I mean, does it signify, a lesser quality protection against Hezek Re'iyah, per se? Or is the question more the durability, the flimsiness of it? And if it's that, and in general, if those are the issues, that determine either material or shiurim, right? How do you look at that kind of a problem? What does that have to do with Hezekiah? I mean, on the surface, you might think that as long as there's a barrier and it's working and there's no Hezekiah, what else is there to discuss, right? If indeed standards beyond neutralizing actual Hezekiah are a factor, so is that just about Dine Mominus? It's like a separate thing once you have to build a wall? And if so, is there any fundamental aspect to that? Or is it about psychology? or more than psychology, you know, the concern for the future or for an interim period when a wall is going to fall down, you know, until it's built back. Like, are these extreme anxiety or misgivings or standards about Hezek Re'iyah? Or, but I'm just raising questions for the moment. We'll try to pin them down more when we see them, but these are the questions. Okay. So what is this all about? So the evidence is that the Mishnah has standards and minhag. The Rishonim are going to debate l'kula l'chumra, both the standards and the material, etc. The Gemara has, you know, provides a little bit of an opening with Hutzah v'Dafna, but we don't know whether that's, you know, an example or that's the end. And we also don't know, as I say, how much of a compromise that is in terms of the quality of Hezek Re'iyah. Obviously, that accomplishes some Hezek Re'iyah abatement, right? The question is fully, and it's just a question of its temporariness or people being, you know, anxious about it. Where do you draw the line? But there is a kula through Asra Dinahigi, at least one kula, you know, that is, that affects, you know, what it is that you have to do. I should also mention that the whole discussion in the, another question to think about very briefly is, you know, when it comes to this question of material or standards, of course, as we know, there's also a question that we've shown and discussed. Let's say, you know, one side builds the fence, you know, Betok Shelo. Does that make a difference? That's an issue also to think about. The Rush, we already saw the Rush dealing with that, but then the Rishonim, Rabban in particular, we should look at in all these issues. Another question, you know, let's say you have a... so again, if one is Bona Betok Shelo, what happens then? Let's say you have a situation, you know, where, you know, there was a fence... Like let's say they owned a property, and there was a property in the middle, and there was a fence, sorry, in the middle. And let's say it was a fence whose stature, let's say, either in terms of standards, shiurim, or in terms of material, was inferior to that which is required, you know, for abating, you know, a Hezek Re'iyah case. Does that, you know, then just automatically require abatement? Right? In other words, these two people, you know, were shutfim in a chatzer. There was a wall in the middle anyway. And now they broke up their shutfas. Right? But there's no Hezek Re'iyah. It's a little bit like, but that's the question. Is it like, you know, the question of, you know, the wall, you know, that existed... You know, he used to own, you know, another property, and there was a wall, and, you know, then the wall fell down. Okay? So nothing fell down here. The question is, now that they are no longer shutfim, does the chiyuv to be bona kosel, there is a kosel, but let's assume for the moment that the kosel is substandard and it wouldn't qualify if there was no kosel, and they had to build a kosel, that wouldn't qualify. But this, you know, does exist. So that's an interesting question. L'maisa, there's no Hezek Re'iyah now, but there's also, you know, not, you know, the requisite kind of a wall that abates Hezek Re'iyah. So both from a financial point of view and from an, let's say, an anxiety over Hezek Re'iyah point of view, you know, does this is this a different case? Okay. So these are all things to think about. That's one, and again, you know, Chutzah v'Dafna is like how you understand it is going to be crucial to that. So we will get back to that. We're not going to spend so much time because these are the questions. We're just going to try to figure out the significance of some of these questions and to, you know, kind of get on the record some of the different shittos. But this is the question. Let's try to do that actually, you know, in this context. The Tosis, Rabban, the Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rama. If you can look at it, just whichever. I don't want to give it too much because I want to move on. But at least just to get those on. Then the Gemara also says here, it's here where the Gemara seems to say, a little more clearly, seems to say that b'makom shenagu lo livnos chatzer in a gina, right, that that's acceptable, right? Da'at simcha. Hagufa ka, the Gemara says, b'chem begina, b'makom shenagu ligdor b'chayim in also. I mean, implies that the stam, there's no chiyuv in a gina. Because it sounds like there should be a greater hezekriya concern in a gina than a bika, and yet, in terms of the diuk in the Mishnah, it goes the other way. It's very strange, right? Amar Baya. Chams gina and makom shenagu ligdor bika mechayiv in aso. Meaning, a bika is only chayiv and hezekriya when there's when it's makom shenagu, and a gina even bestam, right? But the implication is that if there was makom shenagu lo ligdor, that that would also remedy, or that would also not require a remedy, right, in Gina. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Amalei Rava. Stam Gina is kimakom shenagu ligdor dami, u'mechayvin also, aval stam bika is kimakom shelonagu ve'ein mechayvin. Okay, that's fine. But the simple pshat in this Gemara is that Gina b'makom shelonagu, b'shenagu shelo, rather, is potter. Okay. As we'll see in just hopefully a couple of minutes, the Rajba disagrees. You saw that? Simcha? Disagrees with that, that's what the Bavli says, even though it practically is explicit. And the reason that he disagrees is because, Aaron? Because of Rishalmi. Rishalmi seems to say that Gina, even b'makom shenagu shelo ligdor, is obligated. You have that line in the... So the Rajba says, you know, we should read the Bavli kind of in light of the Yerushalmi, so that we, you know, don't have to be barachik them more than we have to. So the Gemara is just, you know, hey, go ahead, if we read the line, if you don't mind. Yeah, but in a Hanami, even if it was Makom Shelo Ligdor, then Gina would be obligatory. Okay, that's very, very dochak perush, correct? To say that, you have to have, you know, some... Okay, I mean, he tells you partly what motivates him is he wants to be, you know, wants to reconcile Bavli and Yerushalmi. You know, so the Rajba, you know, and methodologically always, you know, reads Bavli's in a dochak manner so he can be, you know, can harmonize them to Yerushalmi's. In anybody's experience? Meaning, of course, you know, like if it doesn't take much, you know, it's also an interesting methodological thing, just you know, like, are you looking for arguments, or are you looking for harmony, you know? You know, we look for arguments when we learn, you know, we look for harmony, you know, when we paskin, but, you know, we're interested and intrigued by the, you know, by the range, so, right, you have to be careful about that, and certainly there are, you know, methodologically, you know, different approaches to that among Mefarshim, and nobody is so dogmatic about it, because everybody understands that, you know, yesh v'yesh v'yesh v'yesh, there's no single, you know, principle. So there are for sure Rishonim, Mefarshim, you know, who are like the Rambam, you know, really gives a lot of weight to the Yerushalmi, so there's no question that all things being equal, he would, you know, he'll sometimes go with Yerushalmi against the Bavli, I always try to explain, because you know he's just either it fits into a deep conviction about the topic, or in some cases it informs his deep conviction, and then he just thinks that reread. You have to look, you know, at the bigger picture. You know, this kind of, you know, convinces him, etc. But you know, other Rishonim, much less so. They saw the Yerushalmi, you know, as a kind of a different tradition. It's an interesting, you know, historical question too, with halachic consequences. But this idea, this is a particularly, again, when the Ramban brought a raya from the Yerushalmi, you know, before, you know, that was very natural because he thought that's a pshat in the Bavli, even though it's a dochik pshat, you know, to read the whole sugya and tes as not talking about hezekria, but that's not the issue. It was about Rab Chia and Rab Yishmael. You know, you could read it like the Rif, like he's suggesting for the Rif, and you know, this kind of a siyua in the Yerushalmi, even though the siyua wasn't a full siyua, and that was what we were, you know, discussing. That's one kind of a problem. If it dilutes your proof a little bit, you know, how strategic or tactical or accurate is it to bring it as a proof? Like, it proves your point, you know, practically and three-quarters conceptually, but it also kind of, you know, weakens it one-quarter conceptually. So is that a good thing to quote or not? All right, that's an interesting question. But this Rashba quoting the Yerushalmi and rereading this Bavli, I think, is, you know, bedochak, you know, really bedochak. And I don't think that it's typical at all for the Rashba to do that. Even, you know, though the sentiment of being makarev and not merachek, you know, is a very noble and admirable one. Okay, so, you know, more likely, what motivated him was one of two things. Either, as we'll get to in a second, the argument of Rabbeinu Yonah, which he thinks is, or the conclusion of Rabbeinu Yonah, which he thinks is wrong, but to neutralize his argument, you know, he embraces this idea. Meaning, what, one more time, Simcha, what is the argument of Rabbeinu Yonah? We'll read it inside in a minute. What?
Rabbeinu Yonah's argument?
Yeah.
That if Gina is worth...
He's reading Dalet Amud Aleph Kipshuto. Namely, that Gino b'makom shenagu lo livnos is no hezekria. Therefore,
by chatzer also, we should be able to say...
By chatzer kol shekein... By chatzer kol shekein, you should say the same thing. Why kol shekein?
Because we know in that faith that the Gemara says that even according to the opinion that hezekria last man ends up, by chatzer, by Gino, there's still going to be a fear because the iser to be only all...
Oh, exactly. So if you had to, like, you know, crystallize the steps of Rabbeinu Yonah, right, it is, you know, the Gemara you would start with. Dalet Amud Aleph tells us that Gina b'makom shenagu lo ligdar, there's no hezekria. That's step number one. That's what the Rashba, after arguing with the rest of it, says, and by the way, step number one is wrong. Right, step number one is wrong because of the Yerushalmi, and in light of the Yerushalmi, we should read the Bavli, even though, in my opinion, it's, the Rashba knew it too, it's very bedochak. So, but that's step number one in Rabbeinu Yonah. Step number two in Rabbeinu Yonah is Gina, right, from a Hezek, in the hierarchy of Hezekria, Gina is worse than Chatzer. That comes from base on a base, you know, when the Gemara said, even if Hezekiah lo shmo Hezek, Gina, shiny. So that's how Rabbeinu Yonah understood it. He understood that that hierarchy, that the Gemara is saying that there's a hierarchy in Hezekiah. And therefore, if one is true and two is true, then Chatzer, kol shekein, right, is b'makom shenagu lo livnos, is not going to have hezekria. And those are the three steps of Rabbeinu Yonah. Of course, our assumptions in the steps, right? Two big one assumptions. Well, number one, the first assumption, but that says, can't blame him for that, that's Bavli. What are the other assumptions that Rabbeinu Yonah is making?
That the chatzer as bad as Pina in all cases.
But that's even...
Because
even before you get to that one, which is the main one, I agree, but we'll get to that in a second. What's he assuming about the relationship between Gina, the Gemara Dav Beis Amud Beis? Did we read that Gemara again, just very quickly? Ooh, we got to stop in a minute. Sorry, we're a little late. Says the Gemara, Hezek Ria Lav Shmei Hezek. Exactly. So what is, how is the Rabbeinu, what is Rabbeinu Yonah assuming?
Is that just because there's more reason, more situations where there's Hezekiah also...
Well, before you even get to that, he's assuming that when the Gemara says that, that shiny Gina... Because also Ladam Lama Besadi Chaver B'Shashu Iyomed has become Aseha, that's Midin Hezekriya. Correct? You could have said that's a factor in its own right. In which case, even in the Hava Mina, we're not, the Gemara doesn't say, oh yes, and therefore it's Hezekriya. The Gemara just says it's Asur. Right? Originally the Gemara thought, what are you talking about? Gina has Hezekriya. Right? So if Gina has Hezekriya, Shema Hezek. Then the Gemara says, no, shiny Gina, because of Eina Bisha. So Rabbeinu Yonah read the Gemara clearly that Eina Bisha is an aspect, a dimension of Hezekriya. Correct? But you could have said, that's not what the Gemara said at all. The Gemara meant that, you think you have a proof from Gina, you don't have a proof from Gina at all. Because Gina, there's a different factor at play, and that's called Eina Bisha, which has nothing to do with Hezekriya. Right? That's very important. We've already seen some things about that. The Ravan and the the whole Shulchan Aruch, Sma, Shinai, and Ches. Again, we'll have to sum all this up when we finish this Mirat Hashem on Thursday. Let's try to do it together with all those other the Malkum Shinago issues, Adav Beis and Dalit as well, and Hutzav Adafna. But we'll try to do it as quickly as we can. But there's another assumption, right? And then we're just going to chart this in Rabbeinu Yonah just a minute, and Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashi in a minute, right? So again, the Gemara Dav Dalit in Gina, you have this thing. Rajba says no, based on the Yerushalmi, but that's as an afterthought. Okay, that's Bedoka. There, the Rabbeinu Yonah has a stronger case than the Rashba. Number two, the Eina Bisha's Midin Hezekriya. That's an interesting question. Actually, the Rashba doesn't argue on that, right? We'll see that others may argue on that. It's certainly a vulnerability in the Rabbeinu Yonah's argument, correct? It's interesting that the Rashba doesn't pick on that. But what he does pick on is... Oh, excellent. The word, so exactly. Rabbeinu Yonah saying mid Hezek Ria Loshma Hezek, right? Nishma to the internal within Hezek Ria Shma Hezek. Is that a reasonable idea? Would you say?
Meaning,
to be fair, I mean,
it's fair because you would still assume if an external factor of the Abba.
No, let's assume that is Hezekriya.
It's still external in the sense that if it's a step up on Chaser here, it still exists on Gimel Aleph.
Say that one more time.
Like, it's still true if you say Hezek by Chaser Shmei Hezek.
Yeah.
That there's still an added factor, Gina, still the added factor of Asulam Alosheikhavera. It might not be as add, meaning.
Right. I think you're already getting ahead of yourself in this a little bit. I'm just saying.
Once you make assumption two, I think assumption three is very fair.
In Rabbeinu Yonah.
Yeah.
Meaning, if Eina Bisha is Hezekriya,
yes,
so then the assumption that the mandam that, because basically what we're saying, there's Hezekriya and Agina, even if there's no Hezekriya in a Chatzer. So if there's Hezekriya in a Chatzer, then obviously there's twice as much, not twice as much. There's more Hezekriya, certainly not less, in Agina. But correct?
Yes.
Yeah. It's there where the Rajba, you know, disputes Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah is basically saying there is a straightforward hierarchy. That hierarchy is unaffected by applying the psak of Hezek Re'iyah, you know, Shema Hezek to a Chatzer, right? Because it's just, you know, he's just looking at it in a very reasonably, very straightforward, hierarchical way. More Hezek Re'iyah, less Hezek Re'iyah, you know, etc. And he's just applying a simple kosher kit. Can't blame Rabbeinu Yonah for that. The Rajba, you know, disputes it. And the Rajba says, no. Once you paskin Hezek Re'iyah, Shema Hezek, and a Chatzer, somehow it catapults over Gina. So if you were to say, oh, in light of that, we no longer think that Eina Bisha is Hezek Re'iyah, we now think Eina Bisha is something independent, that would make sense. Or maybe you don't even have to go that far. Maybe what you're trying to say conceptually is there's like this, you know, all or nothing, not all or nothing, but there's like, you know, this contested, you know, subtle question, and that is like, what is the nature of Hezek Re'iyah? Right? And depending on whether depending on whether or not Hezek Re'iyah applies to a Chatzer as opposed to only, let's say, a Gina, that determines the nature or the character of Hezek Re'iyah, but it's going to redefine what Hezek Re'iyah really is all about, such that, you know, it's also going to shift the whole hierarchy. Okay, that's what the Rajba is saying. Let's just document all that. Oh, we have just quickly at least document the language in Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba, and then I'll tell you what I mean by that, and then we'll just, next time on Thursday, we'll just hopefully quickly just pick up some of the points of this. So Simcha, you're doing great jobs. You have the language of Rabbeinu Yonah, just to establish that indeed this is what we're talking about. Aval b'makom shenagu kulam shelo libnos. First of all, I think it's an interesting. Shein makpidim al hezek re'iyah. Is that really true?
Oh. Is he saying only in that case? He's saying only if, okay, they don't have walls for some other reason.
Boo. I hear. So this, I mean, again, the language makes sense here. I'm just saying it's also something to think about. Ein makpidin al hezek re'iyah. Right. Can you not be makpid al hezek re'iyah? Or do they assume, or is it their assumption that, you know, the particular places that we're dealing with are not, this is one of the things I want to try to suggest, you know, we don't treat them as private, you know, in that sense. You know, you can have private property, you know, that still isn't, or you can have single owned property, but it, you know, that isn't, you know, perceived as private. Okay, you know, commercial property. Like, let's say I have a business, I own it, no one else owns it, it's not b'shutfus, right? So too, in my I can have different kind of private properties, right? So in general, ein makpidin al hezek re'iyah, that sounds more like, oh, is there mechila? Is there vitur? Or no, maybe even that's different. Okay, we'll get back to it. But it's the language is very suggestive. Okay. Elam ratza kodes atok shalo. Go ahead. Kedekayim elam begina. That's the Gemara on Dalet Amud Aleph, Kipshuto, right? Afagav Mishum Hezekria. Ah, who told you that? Ah, that means you're assuming that Eina Bisha is Mishum Hezekria. Okay, Ube Gemara. Which is true, right? But that was the Havamina. They're saying, and therefore, hu adin chatzer. But when the Gemara said, no, shiny gina, we don't know if the Gemara turned its back on Eina Bisha as the basis for Hezek Re'iyah, or at least as defining Hezek Re'iyah, you know, in according to a certain perspective. That's another possibility. Or whether or not this is an independent factor. Right? Go ahead. The Gam Yoser Chamor Hezek Re'iyah Digina. Oh, this is the argument, right? That's midin. They're both midin hezek re'iyah. Even the maskana, there's a hierarchy. That hierarchy doesn't change, not in terms of its nature, and not in terms of ein abisha being a factor. Interesting. What else does Rabbeinu Yonah say? V'nir be'enai. So it's not like he's a general makel, right? He actually has a chumra here. When there's no minhag one way or another, you can't do hutzav adafna in the absence of minhag. I mean, where it sounds like we are, you know, machmir on standards. Okay, we're going to give another minute or so. Okay, that's why it's so important, you know, to try to figure out what does Rabbeinu Yonah really think about the riff and so on. Like, how out of, you know, kilter is all this? Now, what about the Rashba? Do you have the language of the Rashba in front of you? So you see, it's very... Okay, Aaron read the last point. But I say the last point could be a function of one of two things. Number one, he's a little bit, you know, still worried about the Rabbeinu Yonah's argument. So that argument, you know, assumes... You know, that if there is a hierarchy, then we have a proof. Since in Gina, Bokum Shinagu Lo Livnos is Pators, then for sure Hu Adin Chatzer. If you can neutralize that, namely, you know, even in Gina that's not true, then there's no longer that conclusion, correct? So again, you know, of course, he wouldn't say it if he didn't think it was possible or plausible. And, you know, therefore being inspired to reconcile the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, when he already has like a conviction about these things, you know, is part of the story for sure. I just don't think it's necessarily something that he would do, you know, so bedochak in other places, or that's something to look into. But I think there's also another element, and that is that he just, if you assume that Hezek Re'iyah applies in a Gina, you know, the idea, or whatever it is of Hezek Re'iyah that applies in Agina, the idea that you would be able to waive that even b'makom shelo nagu is something that the Rashba found extremely logically difficult, conceptually difficult. Right. So in addition to, like, you know, not wanting to accept the conclusion in Chatzer, it could be even in Agina itself. Remember that the Rashba, like the Ramban, like the Rif, you know, is all in on Hezek Re'iyah, you know, being something that's, you know, practically defining and transcendent. Okay. That doesn't mean he has to be all in on it in a Gina. There could be different levels. But at least, you know, maybe that's fact. Yeah.
Like when he speaks about that, it sounds like, unless maybe he has different interpretation, it sounds like he doesn't think the Gina and Shay Yisrael applies to Gina.
No. So like, that's because, we're reading things out of order.
Right.
I'm just saying the last gasp, and by the way, like what Aaron read before, is the last part. It's like, and by the way, you know, the Gina thing isn't so simple either. What you're talking about is before we get to the end of by the way, meaning let's assume Rabbeinu Yonah is right. In a Gina, b'makom shenagu lo livnos, there's no Hezek Re'iyah, says the Rashba. I'm comfortable anyway. And that's what you're referring to.
Right.
I'm just saying,
I like A better than B, I'm just saying.
No, I do too, but I'm just, since we're Kore Lamafreya here, I'm just saying, you know, what would motivate, I'm just saying, objectively, what the Rashba says about Dalet Amud Aleph and the Yerushalmi and the Bavli being the same is something which isn't simple at all. That's what I'm saying. And I'm saying, so what's so appealing? I mean, what would push him to say it? Aside from reconciliation of Bavli and Yerushalmi.
Hey, hey.
The answer is, you know, he doesn't like the conclusion on Chatzer, but maybe he's also not completely comfortable with an Egina. So you're saying, oh, but he's mechalik between Gina and Chatzah. Yes, until he gets to the last gasp. And even then, I think he's probably still mechalik, but there could still be enough in the hezekriya of Egina that he's uncomfortable with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not, okay, either way, because is a lower level. But okay, so let's see what he's saying until he gets there. Now we're being kore, you know, in order, you know. It's my fault. It's not that like Aaron is always Corey Lamafreya and Simcha is always Corey, you know, sequentially. You know, they both can do either one. Just whatever you ask them. They're just so nice. Yeah, go ahead. Kasav Mori Arav. I'm sorry. Yeah, Kasav Mori Arav. I think I mentioned that the Rajba is hugely influenced by Rabbeinu Yonah and Bava Basra. Okay. He starts off, Bilavainim. You have that? Oh, that's the second chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah, the Chumrah part of Rabbeinu Yonah. So that the Rajba embraces right away. The Rabbeinu Yonah started off with his chiddush and said, oh, but by the way, you know, don't think I'm going to make it all here. Now, I'm just, you know, portraying it. But the Rajba says, let's start off with a good Chumrah, you know, from my Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay, then he says, however, and then it's like interesting, Ika Meravasa, like, you know, what happened to, you know, Mori Harav, you know. Okay. A little distance. Shapirshu, maybe others did also. Go ahead. Notice how he's saying it so, you know, so gingerly, because he knows what he's about. Mashma b'gemara, right? About Gina, the Daf Gestam Gina Mechayim, you know, so? Okay, this is what it is. And then he says, V'ein Dina Miafa Be'inai. Now here you have to read carefully, because it sounds like Rabbeinu Yonah has a very logical argument. Oh. So that is like what happened to the hierarchy. Definitely Rabbeinu Yonah, you know, is the simpler argument on this, but the Rajba is saying something very subtle, very sophisticated. Something happened in the transition. Once, you know, whether or not Hezek Re'iyah applies in a Chatzer, somehow that recalibrates, right, how we look at either Eina Bisha, right, or at Hezek Re'iyah itself, and that Gufa recalibrates the hierarchy, right? He doesn't say exactly why or how. Now, we know the Tshuva, where he does say, the Tshuva, right, integrates two things. Right, the two issues that we've been discussing. Cheskas, you know, Hezekria, where the Rajba comes up with these, you know, tremendous formulations, Bagadar and Shal Yisrael, and the other Tshuva that Tani brought to our attention about, you know, Bamach Masakum, and so on and so forth, together with this issue, right, Makom Shenagu, Makom Shalonagu, you know, etc. So, yeah, keep going just a little bit more. Oh, okay. V'chein kasav Rabbeinu Tam, to which he does, and Adam Beis and Aleph. This is what we hinted at a little bit before. Right, if you have a clash between Minhag HaMedina and the standards, so the Gemara says Hutzav Dafna, but they don't say, why don't they just say, you know, Mokom Shelo Noagu? And it sounds like less than Hutzav Dafna you won't go. That's going to be minhag batalos. So for makbid on standards, you know, then we certainly have to be makbid on the institution. Yeah? Oh, that's what he's saying. Afilu tomar. Shmira. What's he saying here? Then comes the oh, even in Gina, I'm not masking. Like we are already. Correct? So two things just to point out. So what's he really saying? So I think what he's saying that in the bigger idea, especially in light of the Darn Shisrael, is what I just said. And that is that he thinks that when the Gemara argues Hezek Rishma Hezek Aloshma Hezek, and the Gemara says shiny this and shiny that, a bunch of shinies in the Gemara. Gina, we have to go through them, right? Hezekah the Rabbim, you know, Hezekah the Bias, you know, the difference between Gog, you know, the ability to protect yourself. So again, you know, the Gemara went from, from Hezek Re'ia, you know, yes or no, which was certainly the Havamina, you know, to all sorts of compromises. So we've already discussed, you know, if you hold Hezek Re'ia Shema Hezek, does the fact that there's a Mandamar that Hezek Re'ia Lo Shema Hezek, does that show you that it's a different kind of Hezek, that it barely makes it as Hezek? Does it catapult it, you know, into a different stratosphere, or a different type of Hezek? Does what is the impact of the other Manda Amar and the Manda Amar Hezek Riyashma Hezek? But we have to think about it in the other way too. Like the Manda Amar says Hezek Riyah Lo Shma Hezek, but there's somebody else who thinks Shma Hezek. Is that the same Hezek, or is there a qualitative difference between those two perspectives itself? So when the Gemara, originally when the Gemara thought, you know, it's all or nothing. If I can prove any Hezek Re'ia, then there's all Hezek Re'ia. And then all of a sudden the Gemara's, you know, Gina shiny, and you know, and Bias shiny, and Rabim shiny, and Gog shiny. It's like, what do we make of it? Just that there's a hierarchy, and then it's a straightforward hierarchy. That's probably the way Rabbeinu Yonah's reading it. But maybe not. Because why call that a machlokas mat hezek riya shma hezek or lo shma hezek when it practically ends up being the exception? Ah. So maybe, I think this is not the only way to say it. Okay. I mean, I think one way to say it would be to say that, you know, some of the, let's say, dini mumminus type hezek riyas, you know, maybe they apply, but privacy or tsniusa, you know, which isn't like Sniusa de Ishus, that also applies. No, like a Nabisha applies, other things, restricting your my property, right? Maybe those kind of things apply. But if you hold Hezek Re'ia in a Chatzer Shema Hezek, what we're saying is no, beyond all that. You know, there's more subtle Tznius, or maybe another way to say it is, forget about the Nabisha part and so on. Even in Sniusa, right, there are violations of tznius where it's expected and so on. And included in that may be things like Eina Bisha and so on. Those are more classic kind of mazikim. But maybe the Chatzer Hezek Re'ia establishes the right of privacy as a propping up factor or as a context factor, framework factor, right, in just, you know, perceiving Hezek Re'ia in a totally different way. I really have to stop. So maybe that's what the Rajba has in mind here. If Hezek Re'ia applies even in a chatzar, even though it's outside, it's public, it's not in the home, and it's not the rabbim, it's your shutuf. I mean, if the standards are so high, right, it's a completely different kind of, you're not measuring it in terms of dollars and cents. It's not a typical mazik, barely over the threshold, applying here, applying there, whether it's, you know, containment or Eina Bisha or even Sniusa, for that matter. It's a recognition of Ashras Ashkena. So then, that's far more of an issue in Chatzer than it is in Gina, even if Gina remains as a Griya. Okay, we'll pick up with this very, try to finish it all off on Thursday. Sorry for going a little over, and we'll try to dive in. Good to see you all. Feel better, everybody.